to order. Roll call, if it can be shown, Dr. Bonzer and Tom Taylor are not present tonight, but we do have a quorum. There are no general announcements, and yes, Robert?
I'll make one just for the benefit of those who are here. Tom Taylor is not here tonight. He had some emergency surgery this afternoon, and I spoke with him half an hour, 45 minutes ago. He's doing fine. But they have put him under general anesthesia this afternoon, so we don't want him here tonight. But we do wish him well, and our thoughts and prayers are with him.
Amen. Thank you, Robert. Any other general announcements? Well, Robert, will you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. 5 minutes. Everybody have had time. Minutes were sent out. And are there any comments on the minutes from October 13th from our city council?
The mayor moved that we approve the minutes from the October 13th, 2018 meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
I'd like to offer a couple of typographical changes, which I'll give to the city council. And I can give them to them after the meeting, otherwise.
Okay. So move all in favor of approving the minutes. Aye. All opposed? All right. Motion passes. Thank you, Danny. October 27th meeting minutes. Anybody have any additions to those minutes?
I move reapproval.
A second.
All right. All in favor of approval of those minutes? Aye. All opposed? Motion passes. All right. Meeting agenda. Since this is a special call meeting, we cannot add any agenda items. So we will move forward to public comment. Brian, we have public comment cards?
Yes, have more?
Do you have more comments?
They're
right there on that little...
Here, Brad.
Here are the three I have.
Okay. We will. We've got quite a number. So if you did not catch a card, they are in back. Go ahead and fill one out, and you can pass it to the city attorney, and he'll get it to me, Mr. Sturgeon.
Hi, I'm going to actually defer to my colleague Craig Hilliard from the Brown Plaza. If he may go first on behalf of the hotel.
I'm going to defer it to someone. Just a couple of comments. One, we appreciate the cooperation on the city alcohol ordinance scenario, and I think that all of the issues that we've brought forth have been addressed, and we appreciate that very much. I don't know of any discrepancies that we could note at this time. The one thing that we do want to note is regarding the taxation, specifically the occupancy tax. We've asked for there to be a study group, if you will, to determine what happens going forward with regard to the tourism efforts in the community and the allocation of those taxes. And that's really it at this point.
Right. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Hilliard. Mr. Sturgeon, are you passing?
That pretty well summarizes it, and if we can do the study group, I think that's the best way to move forward. We all concur. We have the general manager, Robert Woolridge, from the Marriott Hotel. He also agrees. Of the five hotels, I think we have a unified position on this.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Woolridge.
Likewise.
Okay. Ditto on that comment. Mr. Ludwig.
Yes. First of all, thank you for serving. Secondly, I wonder if it'd be a good idea if city council members are not here, if we could hear why each one of them is not here. Third, I understand this is pure rumor for my wife, so that actually takes on the mantle of law, but the city hall is going to be probably up in the Dunwoody Village, and I'd like to observe that if that's the case, the court will probably be up there. If the court's there, then people charged with crimes and tickets are going to be up there. And I'm not sure that's the kind of folks we want in the middle of them. Woody and I noticed there's a, well, Walmart has a, what appears to be a big empty space down there. And something closer to 285, maybe, where folks that are appearing as criminal violations could kind of get in and out of the city a little quicker, might be appealing to the residents of the city. And the last thing is, I think that you're probably going to be considering trash collection by a private company. And you've got, we use the DeKalb County recycling program. I think it's real good. I followed it through to the end. It really seems to work. And so if you hire somebody else, or consider hiring somebody else commercially to do it, how about seeing if they have recycling and actually walk through the process? Don't just take them at their word. We do recycling. Walk all the way through the end and see if it actually happens. Kind of important in our country today to follow through with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ludwig. Mr. Sims.
Thank you. My name is Brian Sims, Mr. Mayor and Council. Being a great city is about both economics and quality of life issues. We need Dunwoody businesses to be able to be healthy because without their development and growth, you and I will have to cover an increasing burden to keep our city running. When I voted for the city, I was treating it like my own Boston Tea Party. I wanted a local voice, I wanted to keep my tax dollars local to support where I lived and worked, and I wanted my elected friends and neighbors to serve with similar goals and values. For me, one of the first roles of government, especially a local government, should be to do no harm, economically, socially, etc. While we must act in the short term, we need to make sure our decisions ensure a great long term. Hindering business success with undue and unnecessary regulation, in my book, does not accomplish the goal of building a great city. As far as the alcohol ordinance goes, I will again state that I think it does not show a strength of our city, but fear. If during city council discussions, I would ask Mr. Ross to identify the individuals who were part of the meeting to decide the final version of this ordinance. That would be appreciated. When I see spending for services of up to $555,000 for Boykin while decreasing the ability for Dunwoody restaurants to thrive and produce much-needed city taxes, I get very, very concerned. Three of you on the council, only one appears tonight, have a one-year and one-day mandate by your constituents. I strongly encourage you to make decisions both in the short term and in the long term that are good for this city so that in November of 2009, you will be ready to stand behind your decisions when asking for another tour. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Sims. Mr. Gilmore.
Mine's very simple. I would appreciate if you would distribute those envelopes to each member of the council and yourself and the two that are absent, which on behalf of five ladies and myself.
Okay.
As long as they don't have cash in.
Yes.
I'm Paige Olson. Good evening, Mayor, council members, community members. I spoke last week about the timeline and making decisions. I don't want to be redundant, but I feel very strongly about the fact that we are taking over county services on December 1st. Being a Citizens for Dunwoody board member, we pretty much programmed our community that we would start being a city December 1st. And I think that's pretty much on everyone's radar screen who doesn't happen to be keying into a blog or part of an email list or just a new city geek like I think a few of us are in the group. And I'm hoping that these two decisions, even though a committee was formed for one of them and they came up with some pretty good recommendations, I am hoping that decisions on these two issues that will affect our new city will not be made until the population of our city is aware of the fact that we are indeed making these decisions. So that's all I wanted to say. And on another separate note, I am in full support of a committee fully investigating a branding for our city. I would like to see the past and the future represented in the direction that we're headed with that. Thank you so much for letting me speak.
Thank you, Ms. Olson. Mr. Posvar.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
Could I ask everybody that has cell phones to please turn off your cell phones?
Thank you for that great segue. I think as a city, to keep on point and get everything moving, we need a telephone line, you know, to field some of these questions so that the poor folks at the Crier don't become the telephone number for the city of Dunwoody. That's all I have to say.
All right. Thank you. There's no other public comment, so we will move on to unfinished business. Yes, you may. Joan, would you give us the second read of the ordinance, chapter 24?
I'd be glad to. We have ordinance, it's a second read of an ordinance to adopt and approve chapter 24, taxation, providing for inclusion and identification in the code of ordinances for the city of Dunwoody, Georgia, to be referenced in the future as chapter 24, taxation, as attached hereto and incorporated herein. This is a second read.
I move that we accept the chapter 24 of the taxation ordinance for the city of Dunwoody.
Second. All right, second discussion on that. All right, seeing there's no discussion, all in favor of approval of ordinance adopting chapter 24, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes. All right, Joan, how about the second read on chapter 4, please?
Yes, sir. This is a second reading and consideration of an ordinance to adopt and approve Chapter 4, Alcohol Beverages, providing for inclusion and identification in the Code of Ordinances for the City of Dunwoody, Georgia, to be referenced in the future as Chapter 4, Alcohol Beverages, as attached hereto and incorporated herein.
All right. Thank you. Do I hear a motion to adopt?
I make a motion that we adopt the Alcohol Beverages Ordinance Chapter 4 as written.
Okay, I will second that. Any discussion on this? Robert?
Well, just point of information, the ordinance that is now up for a vote, I believe, is different from the one we had at the first read.
That's correct.
So what we really need to do, I think, is an amendment for a substitution, right? And then a vote on the, right, since there's been a lot of work done on this ordinance between the first read and today, don't we first have to amend? No?
The motion was to be adopted as presented. And this is the one. If you've got the presented one that was reviewed and the red line changes that y'all are approving,
yes,
that would be the one as presented.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. We have Danny.
A couple of people have asked the question about how did we come to this ordinance, and I'd like to recognize the committee that we had, several of them are here tonight, that made this happen. I think our meeting last Tuesday was historic in nature. It was the first time that our city got together with the business people and the residents of the community, and I think to a T, we realized the vision that we had when we put together our mission statement. I think we did, in fact, incorporate in that meeting a sense of importance of the quality of life in our community. We also incorporated in there the sense that our business community brings to our community. And I think when you leave a meeting and everybody's smiling, knowing that they have given and taken in ample amounts, but the fair deal was reached, I think that was a good solution. And I'd like to recognize the people who were part of that. We had Mr. Brian Olson, you'd stand. Brian Olson is with Cafe Intermezzo. Brian was impacted by this significantly because he is one of those merchants that stay open past 2 o'clock, and he made sacrifices. It's kind of like the eggs and the bacon. The chicken's involved with the egg, but the pig is really involved in that breakfast meal of bacon. And he gave mightily, and I think he was a big contributor to making the thing happen. We have Mr. Doug McKendrick. I don't think Doug is here tonight.
There he is.
Sorry, Doug.
Tall man. Doug with McKendrick's Restaurant. He's fine dining, and he represented that segment. We have Mr. Brad Sturgeon. Brad is the general manager for
Embassy Suites. He represented the hotel business in the community. And we also had Mr. Bob Levy. Is Bob here? Bob's here. Yeah, Bob's here. With the Divine Wine Bar. He represents another segment of the marketplace. So I think we had all segments of the spirits industry represented. We also had some from the community. We had Bev Wingate. Bev Wingate has been in charge and on more boards than I can like to think of here, but she was a big contributor to this. And we have Bill Robinson. And we have Mr. Bob Dallas. Bob brought to the zoning and the those kind of issues. He brought that kind of knowledge to the board as well. And together with these gentlemen, it was Brian Anderson and myself's privilege to serve with them. We worked through this for hours and hours and reached a consensus on what we thought was a fair deal for both the community as well as what we hear from the industry. At the end of the game, we came up with a resolution. As you know, the big issue was whether we close at 2 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning. And what we came up with was that the last pour for liquor would be at 2 o'clock. The tables had to be cleared of all alcoholic beverages by 2:30. And the restaurant, they could continue to serve steaks and cakes and pies and things like that beyond that time, but no liquor. And that's what we came up with. There's no double dipping. At 2 o'clock, you can't get four drinks in front of you and cup them down. That's also covered in the ordinance as well. And I think at the end of the day, that together with several other changes that we heard, I think it met the word and the spirit that we heard in four previous council meetings. And I'm proud to say that I recommend that we give a unanimous vote to this ordinance.
Danny? First of all, I want to thank Councilman Ross, City Attorney Anderson, and all of those that volunteered. I think that's the way we should be doing business here, getting inputs from the community. I was sensitive to the concerns that I remember Mr. Levy brought up, because I thought those were very, very important. I was also sensitive to the concerns of the citizens. And as I always remind myself, this country says we the people. So I'm very, very sensitive to that. I think the closing time, I will tell you, the first when I read it, I had some small problems with it, but after talking to the people that were on the commission and everything else, as long as everyone is well aware that it is 2 o'clock, no more liquor is sold or served, at 2:30, the tables are cleaned, I can go along with all that, and that's good. I think that provides the compromise between what the business community needs and what the citizens of this community need. So, and by the way, you're talking to a guy here that wrote the thing that says, let's do business in Dunwoody first. And since I'm an Irish guy, I've probably been to every one of your establishments, I would imagine. But I think the whole idea is that we need to do business in Dunwoody first, we need to do it right, and I think this thing provides all of the things that we need as of this time. With that, I would just like to tell all of you that are running the business, and remember, 2 o'clock is 2 o'clock. It's not 2:03, 2:01, 2:05. And 2:30 is 2:30. It's not 2:31, 2:35, or 2:40.
All right. Thank you, Danny. And I certainly would like to thank all of the members of that committee. It was a quick appointment after our last session. I appreciate those of you stepping up and serving and burning the candle to come to an agreement. So hats off. Yes, Robert.
I'll echo the thanks and the nice work. I'm very happy with the way this is worded. When I was speaking with Councilman Taylor this afternoon, he did raise a concern that he wanted me to relay. And so I will relay it on his behalf. One of the changes we made in here was to take out the requirement that pourers and servers of alcohol be licensed. That they, you know, today in DeKalb County, if you want to pour liquor, and when I was in college, I worked at Steak and Ale, and I poured liquor, and I went down, and I was fingerprinted, and they charged me, I think it was $15 at the time, I think it's gone up by now. And that license had to be renewed every year. And you had to prove, as a restaurant, you had to have posted in the back everybody who had a license, and the county could come in and audit you and make sure that nobody was pouring who didn't have a license. We've taken those requirements out of this bill. So there is no longer a requirement that a pourer be licensed. And Congressman, just promoted him, didn't I? Councilman Taylor's concern was this, The theory was that the owners and the managers could police who was pouring and serving. And he was fine with that, with one exception. Today, if an establishment is caught serving alcohol to somebody who's underage, or to somebody who is inebriated and shouldn't be served, the establishment can take the pourer's license and fire the pourer, and that can be a penalty for failing to meet the requirements. In an environment where the pourer isn't licensed, it's the establishment that bears the responsibility. It's a little harder to point to the pourer and say, well, they did wrong, their license got pulled, that's the appropriate consequence. Now it is really up to the establishment. And if the establishment is caught doing something, they don't have the pourer to point to and to have retribution upon. And his concern is that this could be more difficult for those of you in the business. And he just wanted to make sure that everybody went into this with their eyes open. So with that, I'll leave it there.
Okay, John.
The City Council has reviewed 6 versions of this ordinance. We have talked to many of our constituents, whether it be in the community or the business community. A week ago, I met with the Dunwoody Chamber of Commerce and talked to many of the establishment owners of their concerns. A week ago, this bill wasn't ready. After the hard work of the community coming together, and Councilman Ross and our city attorney, it's a much better bill. The hours have been loosened to a certain extent to the 2:30 from the 2 that was originally thought about, and a lot of the loose ends have been tied up. I'm very proud that this community has come together to work to the way we've gotten this bill. So,
thank you. Danny, do you have something?
Yeah, I just want to make one comment about pouring. We did, in fact, take that out, as Captain Whitstein indicated. We had long discussions about this issue, and the whole issue was we ought to be able to police ourselves. And we said, okay, we'll give you a chance to police yourself. And policing yourself means that you do background checks on individuals, make sure that they have no criminal records. And to a man, the establishment representation there said we should be doing that, not a policeman coming into our facility. I thought our policeman could be used better by stopping crime as opposed to going out and issuing these licenses. That's a very, I mean, just in the case of Cafe Intermezzo, they have 40 licenses that they have to get. And the amount of time that a policeman has to take to pull those licenses is long. In fact, we don't get a payback on that for $15 a license. And so it was our belief that the policeman could do a better job working somewhere else. Secondly, we also advised the group that if it didn't work, we reserve the right to change this at some later date, and we will if it doesn't work. But we're giving our confidence to the businessmen. We're going to ask them to police it themselves, and if it doesn't work, we're going to be right back in this room talking about it. You can bet on that.
All right, thank you, Dan. Any other discussion? Danny?
I think the other thing, one of the things that came into play here is, correct me if I'm wrong, Danny, is the fact that Sandy Springs does not require a license for the individuals. Isn't that correct?
We did not.
Okay. I think that's true.
Sandy Springs does have a pour license.
They do?
Yes, they do.
Okay, Stan, correct me. And also, it's businessmen and businesswomen. So that's all I got to say.
Any other discussion on this? All right, the motion is to approve. I'll call a vote. All in favor of approval, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We're moving to discussion on city implementation. Mr. Hennigan, could you give us a quick latest on the website?
City website. First, the important thing. Jay and Jennifer Kapp have a new baby daughter. Jay is our volunteer website designer. And we made a promise of November 1st for our website. We let it slide 2 days. The website is now live. It's up, dunwoodyga.gov. We intend to put all city documents on the website in the sense of the agendas and other important documents. There's a calendar, news items. The site's live. It's still very basic. We still need to fill it with data, but it's up and it's running.
All right, thank you, John. And just to make it clear for everybody, this is a work in progress. None of us are wet masters, if you will. So as we progress forward on receiving bids on different services, the IT part of things covers the scope of a webmaster and someone that can update this. So,
that's correct.
Bear with us. Okay, update on the general RFPs, General and Boykin.
Basically, with members of the council, you've been kind of in on this slowly but surely, trying to keep all of you involved. But as of last Friday at 7 p.m., we're going to make you guys mad or what? Last Friday at 7 p.m., the first three RFPs were posted on the Boykin website, www.boykin.com. They're there for anybody's view. To get them, you have to sign up, so that way we know who is receiving the RFPs. The RFPs are three. Number one is finance and administrative services, and number two is community development or engineering, if you like a better term for that. Some people use that. And number three is public works. They are posted as of now. Thanks to Danny Ross's help today, the banking RFP hopefully will be posted tonight. I wouldn't guarantee that, so if we need another day, rather than have it on there and correct, we're going to take a look at it in the morning and make sure it's right before we post it on there. Just to give you a quick rundown, the RFPs that were issued last Friday the pre-proposal conference is the 7th of November. The deadlines for written questions is the 12th of November. Response to questions is the 14th of November. That's response back from us. The deadline for submission of proposals on the 17th of November. So a very short timeline, about 18 days total. Possible interviews go down to 20th, 21st. Selection of vendors on the 25th. Limited services begin on December 1st and begin full service to the City of Dunwoody on January 1st. The basic RFPs are the same except for the scope, which is Section 3. The rest of it is basically the same. And I'll entertain any questions from the council. Yes, sir.
Can you, without giving names, maybe enlighten us a little bit on the number of responses we've had to it, quality of the responses we've had thus far after it being published for a couple of days?
Oh, we've had some very good responses. I can't update you as of today, but as of Friday night, we had over four pages of people that had come in for either one, two, or all three of the RFPs. So we have a very good response, but you know, response and proposals are two different things. So hopefully that, if it turns into proposals, we've got some very good competition. And we do have a backup contingency plan in the event, we don't have enough bids that will be ready at the end of this week. But as of right now, myself and Boykin International feel very comfortable. And I think qualify that, somewhat comfortable with the number of requests for proposals that we've had so far.
Robert?
In addition to the banking one, RFP, are there others that we expect, or is this the set now?
As of right now, that's what we've got.
Okay.
There is one other that, as of the main RFPs, this is it. These are the main RFPs, as of right now. That's what you're asking.
Hold on a second. John?
Are we advertising this well enough? There's a number of Georgia municipal and county websites that advertise RFPs. Are we ensuring that we're getting the word out there?
Yeah, good point, John. Yes, what we're doing is we're putting this out. It's in the AJC, it's in the Crier. It's, of course, all the people that have responded, they have gotten a personal call or email. it's on there. Also, we're putting it up, we're looking at putting it on the GMA site, and there's another one, help me out, John, GMO, what is it called?
GLGPA.
And any other sites that we can put it on. All of these sites are going to do one thing. They're going to direct you, whoever the inquirer is, to our website at www.boykin.com. And that way, you know, we can keep track of those that are looking for a copy of the proposal or that, you know, are seeking interest in the proposal. But all of them we will get this in the widest dissemination possible. And I will tell you also that these businesses and concerns and construction companies, they have their own network, and their network works pretty good. But any other suggestions from any members of the council will definitely be taken right in, and we'll see if we can't get them listed in everything you can, because we want the widest dissemination possible on this.
All right, Danny. I think there will be one other small RFP sent out in insurance. We're going to probably put that out for a bit, as I understand, as well.
That's been discussed. That has been discussed.
Well, have we made sure that all of the original vendors who received the Citizens for Dunwoody RFP have been notified or contacted that we're rebidding this? We only had one bidder bid, but we submitted that to a dozen companies. Do we know that all of them know that this bid process is going on?
I do not know that, but I can tell you, if you've got their names or if the Citizens for Dunwoody,
So let's, in addition to just having them, let's make sure we go out and call them and alert them and send them to the website so that we get them.
If we've got their names and they're on the interest list, they've already been contacted Friday night.
Okay.
And we can verify that as well with Boykin, which we'll do. And thank you, Denny, for accepting the chair of this committee. So we appreciate the hard work of you and the other council members on that.
Yes. Yeah, I'd just like to comment on that. There were a lot of other council members involved, including our city attorney, but Councilman North.
I'll be a senator.
But how about Danny and Robert, Adrian, and Tom were all involved in this. And while I'm talking about those people, it's a little bit of honor, but Adrian is in Tucson, Arizona. Her father is extremely ill, and that's where she is. And as you know, Robert has already talked about Tom Taylor.
Okay, any other questions for Danny? Thank you, Mr. Shortle. All right, we will move on to the... give us a quick update on the police side of
it. Tom Taylor is the head of the police group for us. And as you know, Tom's been a little under the weather, but he got out of the weather, and I drove him down last Friday to meet with Sheriff Brown. We had about an hour and a half meeting. And I'll just tell you that Tom is writing up a written report, and as soon as he gets just a little bit better, he will have a written report for all of us on that meeting.
Okay, excellent. And our next IGA meeting is this Wednesday with DeKalb County. Okay, so we're moving on. And Joan, could you read new business, the resolution to appoint the city manager, please?
This is resolution 2008-1110. It is a resolution to appoint a city manager for the city of Dunwoody.
Thank you.
I move that we appoint the selected individual by our mayor as the city manager of the city of Dunwoody.
Second.
All right, there's a second. All right, for discussion on that, I will start. So it's most appropriate. That individual is Warren Huttmacher, and I am extremely excited to be bringing this to the table for not only your vote, but for our city. And what I want to do is do a quick overview
of the process, because it's been quite a long process and a very thorough process as far as the city manager search. It began with a professional search firm that focuses just on city managers. And that professional search firm worked with our HR task force, which was a large group of HR professionals, and came to the table with a large array of resumes for city manager application. So once that came about, they vetted those applicants down to about 20 or 25 applicants. And from there, we had a couple long meetings and discussed the different applicants and narrowed it down, and I began interviewing. At that point, I formed another committee that was separate from this HR task force, and I pulled in an array of folks to get varying opinions. Ultimately, it was my choice on who I bring before council, but I did want to be very thorough, and I do respect diverging opinions from different folks and myself. So pulled together these five folks. The five folks, if anybody's interested, is the president of Dunwoody Homeowners Association, Gordon Jackson, Oliver Porter, who many know was very involved in pre-city process and very in tune with the private-public partnership and CH Chewham Hill. Also Fred Brandt, who is an HR professional as well. And we had Brian Anderson and myself. So there were five of us, including Slavin, an individual from Slavin and Company, and they're the professional search firm. So as we began the interview process, what I asked each of my committee folks to do was to fill out a private form and to rate each of the folks that we were bringing to the interview process. One would have been your top choice, and then it moved down from there on the rating scale. I went through the interview process, and I had my mind picked. We had a lot of very qualified individuals, but I had focused in on one in particular, which was Warren. Interesting enough, through that a committee of very different individuals, Mr. Hotmacher came out with the lowest score, which is the best score. He came out with a score of 6, which I don't know how anybody voted except myself, but you don't have to be a mathematician to figure out that that was 4 first-place votes and 1 second-place vote. So it was pretty good mandate from my committee, and I was extremely satisfied with that. After that process, I began a pretty intense negotiating process with Mr. Hutmacher before any movement forward. Once I got to an acceptable point from that process, I brought Mr. Hutmacher and introduced him in a work session to council here. As well, Slavin and Company, of course, has done their very deep due diligence, reference checks, and background checks. So again, very, very thorough process that I'm very satisfied with. Mr. Hutmacher was the second in command in Marietta for about 4.5 years. Marietta has got a population of about 60,000. They've got $100+ million budget, and that's where Warren first got sunk his teeth in the city manager process. Again, he was second in command there. He moved from Marietta over to Avondale Estates, which is a small city, and he was city manager there, so first in command. After a couple years in Avondale, he is currently employed as a city manager of Norcross. Norcross has about 15,000 residents, and they have a budget that I had somewhere, a pretty big budget of $31 million. So again, he's very experienced, very seasoned, and he is a resident of Dunwoody. He has 2 small kids. I'm happy to be able to appoint him. Again, we did have some very top level individuals, and it was a tough decision all around. So with that being said, we would expect Mr. Hutmacher, if approved, would start the latest is November 20th, possibly as early as November 14th.
again, I'm thrilled to be presenting him for your approval. Mr. Huttmacher is not here tonight. He is at his regular job, current job, over at Norcross at their council meeting. Any other discussion on my appointment? Yes, Robert?
Just to add that you left out one piece of his resume, which was his master's in public policy administration.
Absolutely.
And the fact that we did all meet him, and he is a very impressive guy. I think he's going to do a great job, and I think you and your group did a fabulous job.
Thank you, Robert. Benny?
I just to explain to everyone that the reason his start date is later in this month is because of 30-day notice to his current employer, and that's the way you do it, and that's the way it should be done, so there's no problem with that. But another thing to tell everyone, he has been kind of double duty at his spare moments, if you will. He's been available on the phone, and he has attended some of the meetings on the RFPs and things like that.
All right, thank you. Any other discussion?
No. All right,
I will
question.
Move to vote for approval of this resolution. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? There's none. All right, motion carries. The Joan, would you read us the city alcohol license?
We have a resolution 2008-1111. It is a resolution adopting and approving the Schedule D for alcohol licensing in the city of Dunwoody, Georgia, for Schedule A, and authorizing the mayor and the city clerk or their designee to execute any and all documents necessary for the implementation thereof.
Okay.
I move we accept the resolution.
Motion to accept. Second, there's a second discussion on it. Robert.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. I will make a note, and my sense is the council is that I may not have the support to change this, but I at least want to publicly acknowledge the fact that you can serve beer and wine every day of the week for $900 for the year, but if you want to serve beer and wine on Sunday, just Sunday alone, it costs $1,100. And that strikes me as very high under the conditions. And I would encourage us to lower that and not to make it so quite so difficult to serve beer and wine on Sundays. But again, I don't know that I have the support of the council for that, so I won't even make a motion. But I at least want to acknowledge that I think it's too high.
Okay, John?
I haven't seen these previous to this week. These fee amounts come from DeKalb County, do they not? Are we mirroring DeKalb County?
We're cutting and pasting from DeKalb County.
Okay. That's
okay, Danny?
That was my question.
Okay. Yes. So, Robert, appreciate the comment, but I think maybe to roll back DeKalb fees may not be there at this juncture in our new city. Any other discussion? All right, we'll call the vote. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, other business? Motion carries. We have no other business noted that I'm aware of. We're at second public comment. Do we have any new cards?
I had asked Brian to clarify some emailing.
Oh, yes.
Is there any way to do that? There's a motion on the floor to adjourn.
Just adjourn, and I'll adjust.
Okay. Motion to adjourn. On favor. Second up. Any opposed? We're adjourned.
If people want to stay around one moment, Paige had asked earlier about email transmissions and whether that counts as an open meeting. What the current law in DeKalb is that if you hold deliberations by email for a set period or hold a vote, that could count as an open meeting. So the council has been noting that.
All right, thank you, everybody.
Thank you.